You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Tonight's a big night. We got Seattle Seahawks versus Rams in Seattle. The Rams have had a lot of success against Seattle, and I thought Matthew Stafford was missing throws a lot in that game against Arizona. It's a week-to-week league. The same time, the same team that blew out Tampa got blown out by Arizona, and I feel like is going to win tonight. They've had great success at Seattle. Everybody's healthy, by the way. Darrell Henderson's going to play. They have no injuries on the injury report. So the Rams are completely healthy for tonight, and I feel like it's a really good spot for him.
How often has Sean McVay lost two times in a row?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer. Is this a hypothetical? Or
I'm pretty sure it's never, but let me look.
Travis was talking about it this afternoon. I think he said five times in the 5 years he's been here.
Five times in 5 years he's lost back-to-back?
Yeah.
God, he is the best coach in the league. The best. That's why everybody keeps stealing his assistants. That's why Brandon Staley in San Diego is doing Chargers is doing so well. Because he came from the Sean McVay tree. Of all the coaches in the world, I think right now, Sean McVay has the best coaching tree. At least the beginning of it. You've got LaFleur. You've got Zach Taylor, who's probably going to get fired in Cincinnati at some point because they're just going nowhere. You got Brandon Staley now with the Chargers. And you've got, Brad Holmes, I think, is the player personnel director for the Detroit Lions. So if everybody wants a piece of McVay, so we're going to keep losing guys. Raheem Morris is doing a great job as defensive coordinator, and I love our secondary, and I obviously Aaron Donald. And I don't think Aaron Donald has had his breakout game yet. He affects the game in every way. Every snap he is affecting the game with double teams, sometimes with triple teams. But he has yet to really have that breakout multi-sack game that you expect from Aaron Donald. And maybe tonight's that night.
Yeah, and they've typically done pretty well up in Seattle. Like they've been good against them. And I like the Rams in that was a real letdown game last week. I thought that was a huge letdown. And it was I just think Sean McVay, even on a short week, is the type who's gonna get his guys ready to go.
Yeah,
even
me
though
too.
You know, it's just they have something with Seattle. I think Stafford will be better. I think McVay will be I thought it was a letdown after the Tampa Bay game.
Yeah, it absolutely was. It was a soft spot. You get up for a game against the world champions, and you come out flat. Now, they're going to have to deal with Russell Wilson the way they dealt with Kyler Murray. Russell Wilson is always – Russell Wilson is so tough to handle. He is so elusive. He sneaks his way out of sacks and out of trouble all the time, throws on the run, bootlegs it, naked bootlegs it, creates – a situation where he can either run or escape and be able to make a big throw. So Russell Wilson has always been a real thorn in the Rams side. So we got that game coming up for you. 3:30 is the start of pregame, and 5:15 is the kickoff. It's a national TV game, which is going to be fun. Two nights in a row for the eggplant parmesan.
Is that's your favorite dish or the best thing you know how
that's
to make?
My lucky thing. My lucky dish is eggplant parmesan. Let's go to Garrett on the 405. Garrett, you're on 710. What's up, man?
Hey, what's up, everybody? First, I just wanted to say, go, how about them Dodgers?
Woo-hoo-hoo! Yeah.
Like, I had a couple things. Thank all of you for all the hard work that goes into making this show. I drive a lot for work, and I just wanted you to know I appreciate all of you.
Oh, that's nice of you. Thank you very much, man.
Hey, you know what? Is it just me, Garrett, before you go? Has anybody ever told you your voice sounds like Rob Palenka?
I just said that to Greg. Yes.
He did that, just say that.
I actually haven't heard that. That's funny, though.
But get some Rob Palenka out here. Get some Rob. Jorge, pull some Rob. We're going to play it
side by side. Yeah, it is really good side by side. You do
really
sound
is.
Like Rob Palenka.
Well, Well, here, Rob Pelinka has a tip for you then, Momo. If you're going to order pizza bagels all the way from Cleveland, for the love of God, can you please put them in the toaster oven or the oven? How are you going to just get it all squishy in the microwave?
Good point.
It is a good point,
Garrett.
But I like the squishy, too.
My goodness.
Yeah. Okay, Garrett, stand by. You got to hear this. You got to listen.
Okay, now, Garrett, there's Garrett. Now, listen to Rob Pelinka for a minute.
When this group of guys is in the gym or around each other, there's a respect for, hey, we have a chance to do something special this year.
Okay, so.
Can you say that, Garrett? Can you just say when this group of guys is in the gym or around?
When this group of guys, we have the opportunity to do something special around here.
You know what? I think you are absolutely on it with a Rob Pelinka impression.
Wow.
Effortlessly.
Garrett, can you say
Maybe this is
Mana
the Rob
from
Pelinka
Heaven?
Burner account, and I'm just calling to say the Lakers are not too old. They're here to just slap all the way to whenever the championship is, February or January. And those guys in Brooklyn, they're not even all vaccinated yet, so they might not even be at full strength.
All right. Hey, listen, not Rob Pelinka. Thank you very much for joining us. I appreciate the phone call.
Mace, one more thing. Wait, yeah. Mace, hold on. So in my Pop Warner football team, we're doing drills like it's hot, we're all sweating, and one guy on our team picks up his helmet and his eyebrows are just melting off of his head, and we all start laughing like, what's going on? And I guess he lost a bet at school and had to shave both of his eyebrows off.
Oh, that's awesome. So he couldn't hide them. Ultimately, they melted away.
Yeah, so don't go working out or anything with a fake eyebrow, you know, if you got to draw one on.
Exactly.
One brow man.
All right. Thank you, not Rob Pelinka. Call anytime.
All right, thank you.
Before you go, can you just say Mana from Heaven? Oh, he left.
He left.
He really sounded like Rob.
Yeah, that was a good call. You said that too, Jorge, right?
I did. I turned back and I told Greg, hey, that sounds like Rob Pelinka. And
maybe it was Rob Pelinka.
I don't know.
Yeah, although he would have known when the championship was.
I know.
It's not January.
Here's the real question. Does Rob Pelinka have a Pop Warner football team?
Oh, that is a good question.
He does have kids about that age, so that wouldn't surprise me.
So?
But I bet Rob wouldn't let his kids play football.
You don't think?
No. I think Rob would have him play basketball or soccer or something. I don't know if I'd let Daniel play football. I kind of think the same.
I think the same.
Yeah,
football is like a couple weeks ago. I think it was Davante Adams for Green Bay. I was watching on the Red Zone channel. Davante Adams basically got knocked out on the field. His eyes were glazed. He was drooling. I mean, he looked like a mess. Went to the sidelines for one play, came right back in. I'm like, I don't think they're taking this seriously at all. I don't think they take player safety seriously.
God.
Last night, spectacular night for the Dodgers. It was nerve-wracking. It was crazy. It was intense. It was emotional. And we were on the edge of wherever we were sitting. For me, the edge of the floor. For Bergman, the edge of the floor. For Momo, the edge of what? Your couch?
Couch, yeah.
Yeah. Jorge, you were where?
Couch.
Couch. I had no luck when I was in bed. I had no luck on the couch, so I had to go to the floor. And we've talked about this. It's really interesting. Momo, you nailed it. The reason we do stuff like this is we have absolutely no control over what we're watching. None. So we are seeking some level of control to make us feel safe in the way we sit and the things we eat. And the way we phrased all that stuff is giving us a sense of control over something that we've got no control over whatsoever. That was, you really nailed that, Stanford.
Thanks, Matt.
Are you a psychology major?
No, I've done a lot of thinking about the whole superstitious stuff with softball and baseball. Like, I've just done a lot of that in my life.
Yeah.
Right. Like, and I definitely know the difference between being in the game and like watching the game. Okay. And that's different, right? Like when you're in the game, you do have a little level of control. And yet I think I was even worse when I played. Worse because there's so much standing around.
Yeah.
And there's so much like when you're I always played right field or center field. And so I mean just standing in the outfield waiting for the ball to be hit to you. And like what do you do all the time?
Yep.
And I was like, I was definitely a talker, you know, like two outs, first and third, hey, plays three. I was just a talker because I was just nervous.
Now, isn't Mercury, as you would say, still in retrograde?
Yeah,
Mama?
Still in retrograde.
So how did we win that game with Mercury in retrograde? I told you that's a load of crap.
Well, the Dodgers won because the two guys that you wanted up, Trey Turner and AJ Pollock, wet the bed. I mean, weren't good at all. I mean, in those spots. And the two guys that were good were the guys who were ice cold. It was like
was Mercury in retrograde for Cody Bellinger? And
it doesn't really apply that way. It's more like if your cell phone is. You know what? Mercury in retrograde was the echo in Max Scherzer's headphone. That's
yeah,
Mercury
this is,
in retrograde.
This is, I can't believe you believe this. Because it is some of the kookiest crap I've heard from you. For somebody to come up with such a great theory about control to wind up going to Mercury in retrograde, which is not in control, you're not in control of whatsoever.
Actually kind of the same thing, because people who believe in like astrology or whatever, they kind of ascribe planetary things to what's happening in your life. That's a level of control.
Astrology is crap.
If you're into it gives you a sort of frame. It's the same thing as like if you believe in the almanac or if you believe in Keyshawn.
The almanac?
Yeah, the almanac. What the hell is the almanac?
Yeah.
Like the almanac from Back to the Future?
The Farmer's Almanac. Yeah, what year is it? What are we in, the 60s? The Farmer's Almanac?
People do that. People believe in that. The farmers do.
I actually held a real
book in my
hand.
The farmers
do. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I was cleaning out my garage. I found a Thomas guide.
Oh,
when's the last time you used a Thomas guide?
That was insane. Bergie, you were here for Thomas Guide, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I used to deliver pizzas using a Thomas Guide.
Oh, the Thomas Guide was the most confusing piece of documentation you could come up with. You'd roll it out, and there'd be gigantic maps, and you're trying to figure out where you're going. Thomas Guide, when I first came to L.A. in 87, I was like, I have no idea where I'm going. I mean, I remember saying things like, I'm driving down La Cienega. Or Sepulveda. I called it Sepulveda when I first got here. And the Thomas Guide was my savior. Otherwise, I never would have figured out where I was going.
It was like 700 pages, and you had to like flip through it on
G63. On the grid.
There's a whole grid. It was
brutal, brutal.
So
kids,
hard to use.
You're lucky you got Waves and Waze and Google Maps and Apple Maps and all that stuff. Life has gotten much less confusing. All right, coming up next for you. You know, you mentioned that you stuck with TBS last night.
Mm-hmm.
I actually switched over to Hartung and Hairston Jr.
Noma.
And I'm curious why you stuck with the national guys and what you think of the local guys. That's coming up for you. Again, it's a Celebration Thursday. If you've got something for Matthew Berry, you might as well load up the phones right now. At 2:30 today, so about 20 minutes from right now, Matthew Berry's going to join us, the talented Mr. Roto. If you've got a this or that issue, I can play this guy or I can play that guy. You can either call the show, 877-710-ESPN, or you can tweet the show. Just tweet at Venice Mace, M-A-S-E, and we'll get Matthew go through as much of this stuff as we possibly can as we get ready for another big fantasy football weekend. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, great night for Kenley Jansen last night. Great night for the Dodgers. Kenley actually got the win last night as, Chris Taylor got that slider down and in and yanked it into the left field pavilion, and the Dodgers win that game 3-1. It was tight all night long, all night long. Now, Momo, you've actually got the times for the game, the games in this series, right?
Yeah. You ready?
Yeah, lay it on us. Because
Friday night, game one.
This is in San Francisco.
In San Francisco, 6:37 p.m. Saturday night in San Francisco, 6:07 p.m.
Okay.
Monday night,
So this is Dodger Stadium.
Yeah, at Dodger Stadium.
6:37 is great because people have time to get there. Like last night, that was a 5:07 game or whatever it was, and fans didn't have time to get there. 6:37 is a much better game for better time for Dodger fans.
Yep, and then Game 4, Giants at Dodgers, 6:07 p.m. If Game 5 is necessary, Dodgers at Giants, it'll be 6:07.
So there you have it. There are some times. Actually, Jorge found something cool. Jorge, what'd you find?
The Spanish and the Russian call for the Taylor home run.
The Russian call. I'm fascinated. Right, let's listen to the Spanish call. Now, is this the national call? Or
this is Jaime Harin.
Jaime. Okay. So this is Jaime Harin, who next year will be his last season, Hall of Famer and legend. Here is his call of the Chris Taylor home run.
Prepara el lanzamiento, viene, batazo profundo al jardín izquierdo, la pelota se va, y quedan eliminados los Cardenales. Cuadrangular de Chris Taylor de dos carreras, se lleva de paso a Corey Bellinger que estaba en segunda. Ahí están todos los miembros del equipo de los Dodgers en la caja de bateo recibiendo al héroe de la jornada.
The great Jaime Harin.
Se va. Love it.
Yeah, that's great, man. That's such a great call.
Now, for some reason, the game was called in Russian. Do we know why? Does Russia love baseball?
I guess so.
So we've got a Russian call of the Chris Taylor home run. Hit that, Jorge.
Ну, Тейлор, шикарный шанс.
Ох, прикладывается Тейлор в левый филд, и это победный хоумран, который Доджерс выводит в следующую стадию. Двухочковый Волков хоумран, закрывающий этот матч, и весь стадион сейчас будет приветствовать Тейлора, который ставит точку в этом противостоянии.
I like that.
Cheers went up in St. Petersburg after that. Russia was wide awake. Moscow.
Oh, man. I like that. That was cool.
I
like,
yeah.
I like when there's like the English words that are don't translate into Russian, so you can hear one of them here and
like
there.
The name.
Walk off.
Yeah.
Chris Taylor.
Yeah. Home run.
Yeah.
So last night, we were all on the edges of our collective seats last night.
Including Juan Soto.
Including Juan Soto. Yeah, who was there. And actually was cool, was wearing a Trey Turner Nationals jersey. And then their hitting coach, I forget his name. Do you remember
his name? Kevin Long.
Kevin Long was wearing a Scherzer Nationals jersey, right?
And by the way, he was sitting next to Scott Boris, too. Trey Turner and his agent. Yeah.
And Scott Boris.
Oh, and Corey Seager's agent. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Corey
yeah.
Seager's agent, Max Scherzer's agent. Is Trey Turner a client?
Oh, yeah.
God. We're going to have some run-ins with Scott Boris in the next couple of years. So the announcers, I did not like the call of the game. Did you?
I'm okay with it. Yeah, okay.
I liked it. What was wrong with it?
What was wrong?
I think Brian Anderson talks too much.
It's
like he's doing radio on TV. Like, I get the impression Brian Anderson does play-by-play of everything. Like, coming up next is breakfast, pancakes. Pancakes on the inside.
That's funny.
I get the idea that he does play-by-play regularly and all the time. I could use a little less Brian Anderson. It's not a disaster by any means, but it's not Joe Davis. I miss Joe Davis, and I miss Oral Hershiser on these games.
And then, I really miss Vin.
Oh, and of course, Vin.
Mace, what would Vin have said on the final Chris Taylor at-bat and hit?
How would he have called that into Vin's vocabulary and imagination to have described that home run? I certainly can't. I know it would be artful. I know it would be memorable. I know we would be playing it years from now.
So I
he also wouldn't say anything after the home run.
He wouldn't say anything after the home run. Exactly right, Bergie.
He would stop it and just let the crowd tell the story.
He would have talked a little bit in the setup. Right. He definitely would have said, you know, he would have given a little setup about how Chris Taylor had been cold. And, you know, somebody said a couple of people wrote me last night. OK, this is from Lee Fink on Twitter. Okay?
OK,
he says 2-1 now to Taylor. Bellinger dancing off second. Reyes checks now to the plate. Fly ball to deep left field and gone. And it would have come to this. The Dodgers against the Giants. Push against shove, and they'll be back at it again Friday. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good, sure.
He would have said, fly ball to deep left field. She is. You forget the she is. He always said she is.
Yeah, baseballs are a she.
I think the push against shove, that's definitely a Vinism.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. Yeah, and I like the local guys. Like, I like switching over to the local guys. I think Hartung does a great job. I think Hairston Jr. does a great job. I think Nomar does a really good job. And it gives me – they're doing it from center field, so they got a big crowd, and they got fans, and they've got, you know, all that stuff. So I always switch over to the local guys. And my preference would be – and I wish they would change this rule – that there also be, in addition to a local radio broadcast, that there be a local television broadcast. Because I miss Joe Davis and Oral Hershiser. That is my favorite baseball broadcast team.
I know. I like them.
They are so good, and they're so good together. So I miss those guys once we get to the playoffs. But well, Brian Anderson, keep up the good work. I'm sure you're doing play-by-play about lunch right now.
Would you prefer to have Joe Buck and John Smoltz, though? John Smoltz is the only guy on TV that I think hates other teams. Like,
John
he hates
Smoltz
the Dodgers.
Actually does hate the Dodgers.
He hates the Dodgers.
When we beat them a couple of years ago, I thought John Smoltz was going to like fling himself from the press box.
Hey, we got a little sports media news. You ready?
Yeah, sure.
Bob Costas is going to host the TBS pre and post game for the NLCS.
Oh, wow.
It's according to Andrew Marchand at the New York Post.
He gets everything right.
Yeah.
Well, that's classy.
Yeah.
That means, is Ernie being replaced?
Well, I guess Ernie would do the ALCS, right? Maybe they're just giving Ernie a little break.
No, he's doing the NLCS. I think TBS has the NL and...
Yeah, there you go.
And
TNT
ESPN
or... No, I don't think we do.
We don't have anything?
Fox has the ALCS.
Fox, right.
Yeah,
Fox.
That's what it is. So maybe Ernie is switching over to basketball.
I'll tell you this. Yep. Fox just did something on one of the commercial breaks. The Astros scored a couple runs, and they played AJR's Bang, Bang, Bang as they were going to break.
I don't know
what that means.
AJR, Bang, Bang, Bang?
You don't know that song?
Come on, guys.
You don't know AJR?
Yeah, for the cheaters, like on, Astros, Bang, Bang, Bang.
Bang, Bang, Bang.
Oh, come on. Oh, Bang, Bang, come Bang on the drums. I don't know.
That.
Maybe just play it for me.
Break time.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I know this. Yeah, yeah. Da, 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 I don't know the names of anybody who sings anything.
Just go out with a bang.
Dang. That's something A-Rod would say.
All right. Coming up next for you, it is Matthew Berry time. So we, you know, on the Celebration Thursday, we're going to bring Matthew Berry on, the talented Mr. Roto. He's the greatest resource you could probably have for your fantasy football team as we get ready for another fantasy football week starting tonight with Rams Seahawks. If you've got a question, keep them simple, okay? So should I play this guy or that guy? Keep them as simple as possible. Don't call in and say, I've got four guys for two flex spots or whatever the hell else you're doing. Just this guy or that guy. That's the question. 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-ESPN. Jump on the phones right now. You can also tweet us at Venice Mace, M-A-S-E, and I'll throw some of those at Matthew as well. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The thing about Matthew Berry, the talented Mr. Roto, he does not do a lot of radio shows because he's got his podcast and he's got his Fantasy Life app and he's got his TV on ESPN Plus and he's got all that stuff. So we're lucky to get him every single week. He's a great resource. And as you guys know, my fantasy football team is in last place and I've guaranteed that I will shave an eyebrow if I finish in last place. And I thought my team was much better than it is. That's the reality.
Yeah.
I thought I nailed it.
I want to throw something at him. I went with a radical strategy this year. I want to test this out, okay? So when he comes on, I got to ask him about
Mike. Matthew is here right now. Matthew Berry, the talented Mr. Roto. How are you, Matthew?
I'm good, mate. How are you, man?
Still in last place, Matthew. Still in last place.
What happened last week? Did you not win?
I did not win. No, I lost again. So I'm going to ask my questions really fast, all right? So is McCaffrey going to play?
I mean, look, it's looking good. Return to practice in a limited fashion. You know, I think it's going to be a game time decision. But the fact that he's even out there is a very encouraging sign. So I think it'll depend on how he feels tomorrow, you know, after going through a couple of practices.
Yep.
They're calling it a game time decision, but he's, you know, a really tough guy and wants to get back out there. The only question with hammies is if you do too much too fast coming back from it, you risk re-injury. So, you know, they may have to wait one more week. But what was looking like a much worse injury certainly has a positive outlook now, whether it's this week or next.
I picked up Damian Williams off of the waiver wire. Is he a play?
He is, 1,000%. Look, here's a guy that when he's gotten work has done really well. He in his career, when he's gotten 15 or more touches, he averages 24 fantasy points per game in PPR. We expect him to get that kind of workload. I mean, there's really no one else on the Bears. They have a rookie that they've given a little bit of work to, but it should be the Damian Williams show on Sunday, and it's not a matchup that particularly scares you this week against Las Vegas. We just saw Austin Eckler go crazy against them on Monday night.
Okay. Momo, you got something?
All right, I want to tell you my radical strategy, okay? Tell me if you like this. Okay, I'm in a league where we have one tight end but two flex spots, okay? Mm-hmm. Two flex spots. So I decided I'm going to draft all three of the top tight ends and starve everybody else. So I drafted Kelce, Waller, and Kittle. I have three of the best tight ends you can have, and nobody else has them. And I play tight end and two flex spots. Do you like it?
I don't hate it.
It's like three tight ends.
I don't hate it. I assume it's, you know, I mean, how's the rest of your team look at? Well, how many league teams are in your league, by the way?
12 teams.
All right.
And, you know what? I ended up with Amari Cooper and Tyler Boyd as wide receivers.
Great.
I got Mooney. My running backs are a little thin. Not going to lie. All I got Henderson. All right. I got Trey Sermon this week going. I'm not sure what to do with Hines from Indianapolis. Last week he fumbled. They wouldn't give him the ball anymore. I'm not sure.
You get a limited amount of information, Momo. You can't just go through your entire roster because we got a lot of people.
No, but I mean, I really wanted his idea about you like my radical strategy.
I don't hate it. It's not something that I would have, assuming it's not a tight end premium league, which is where you get extra points for tight ends. There's certain types of leagues that are called tight end premium. So it's not something I would have set out to do specifically. But if you know this league well and you feel like you can trade, it certainly creates a scarce commodity. What's happened is that, you know, Amari Cooper's fine. Boyd's probably not an ideal number two. He's probably more of a number three. Your running backs are a little dicey, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. But I would try to trade one of those tight ends. Like having Kelce and Waller, like, you know, what's the best tight end you could get? I think Kittle has a really nice game this week against Arizona. That should be a really high-scoring game. And so maybe you try to trade Kittle off of that. Improve your running back situation. So okay. I wouldn't actively seek it out, but if the draft fell to me that way, I don't hate it either.
Okay, there's a complete analysis of Momo's fantasy team. Let's hit the phones. Let's go to Kevin Diamondbar. Kev, you're on 710. What's your question for Matthew Berry?
Hey, hello everybody. How are you guys doing? First time caller, long time listener. Special hello to Momo. Really appreciate your insight on sports psychology. I think you're a great addition to the team. My question for Mr. Roto is, I have Allen Robinson. We got a first-time starter in Justin Fields. Now, do I play him, or my options are Devontae Parker, Juju Smith, and I also have Emmanuel Sanders. So I'm a little stuck. I'm sitting at 1-3. It's a 10-team full-point PPR, and I need your insight, Mr.
Okay.
Roto. What you got?
I actually think you start Emmanuel Sanders over Robinson, which is crazy to think about. Robinson's wide receiver 60 on the year. He's not even at the moment the best wide receiver on his team. Like Darnell Mooney leads that team in targets, receiving yards, and receptions. I think Allen Robinson's one of the most talented wide receivers in the NFL, but you know they have not, for whatever reason, whether it's Justin Fields' inexperience or the way the game plan or how they're defending them, they're just not – Allen Robinson is not getting the kind of volume we're used to seeing. And so while it's not a matchup that scares you against Las Vegas, they'd actually have a decent secondary, the Raiders do. And I just think that Bills-Chiefs game on Sunday night is a massive shootout. And so Sanders, who is running over 90%, his route, you know, he runs a route on over 90% of his snaps, a really high rate. He's getting a lot of targets every single game. I actually think I go with Sanders.
Okay. Let's go to Kiko and Oxnard. Kiko, you're on 710. What's up, man?
Yes, I'm trying to decide between Connor or Hubbard in my flex.
Yeah, that's a great call. I think you'll know whether, you know, obviously if Chris McCaffrey's active, then it's easy. You're going with James Conner. The problem with Conner is that he's touchdown dependent. Chase Edmonds gets all the passing down work. Now, it's a team that scores a lot, and so it's worked out. But I think I would roll the dice one more time with Hubbard, who should get 15 touches. I mean, I know he didn't have a great game last week, but he did get a lot of work. He got the majority of the running back work for the Panthers. So good matchup with the Eagles at home. So that's how I would play that.
Okay. Let's go to Mike in Linwood. Mike, you're on 710 with the talented Mr. Roto. What's your question? Mike? Moving on. Let's go to Sam in Burbank. Sam, you're on 710. Say hi to Matthew Berry.
Hey, how we doing? So I've been confidently starting Brandon Cooks all year, but I'm scared of Davis Mills, and I saw him on your hate list today. Do I keep going with him or go with Jaylen Waddle?
I probably still would go with Cooks over Waddle. I mean, the hate list is always about expectations, and I would lower expectations for Brandon Cooks this week against New England. You know, the Patriots always famous for taking away a team's best option, and that's going to be Cooks. But we saw last week, like against a good defense, even the massive target share that he got 35% last week, it still wasn't enough in a tough matchup. I agree with you. You know, Davis Mills is a rookie. Having said all that, Jaylen Waddle certainly has some upside, and Tampa Bay, the way you attack Tampa Bay is through that secondary. But I just think in terms of it's a close one, but I would still go with Cooks over Waddle just based on sort of talent. So that's what I would do there.
Okay, let's get some tweets in. Luisio, Melvin Gordon or Damian Harris?
Harris, not close.
Standard League, Deebo Samuel or Brandon Cooks?
Deebo Samuel, also not close.
Let's see, Trey Sermon or Damian Williams?
Damian Williams, also not close.
Najee Harris, Darrell Henderson, Dalvin Cook for running backs, two of them.
I mean, I love all three, and I think Henderson has a nice game tonight, but I just can't imagine the volume that Harris gets. You have to keep him, and you're not benching Dalvin Cook, so I'm going to say Darrell Henderson, even though I think he has a nice game tonight against the Seattle. I think he has a really nice game tonight, but Cook and Harris are just, you know, so much safer. There's always a risk of injury with Henderson. Does Sony Michel vulture a touchdown? So that's what I'd do. I'd bench Henderson, but
okay. Let
me
get a couple more in here. Ernesto has a choice between Sam Darnold or Ryan Tannehill.
Oh, that's a tough one. You know what? I'm going to go with Ryan Tannehill against Jacksonville. I really like Sam Darnold, but I think the rushing touchdown thing is obviously a little bit fluky with Darnold. AJ Brown returned to practice this week, should help. I just prefer the matchup against Jacksonville than the matchup against Philadelphia for the two quarterbacks. So I get it. It's close, but I'm going to say Tannehill slightly.
Okay, let's get one more in. Jeff Daggett wants to know, Tyler Higbee or George Kittle?
Kittle.
Yeah, I that's what I figured. All right, so Matthew Berry has this really cool thing where you get an email every single day with the very latest fantasy information. I live by this thing, Matthew. How do people get a hold of it?
Super easy. You go to fantasylife.com and you click on the newsletter button and you subscribe right there. And
ooh,
it's 100% free. The newsletter is 100% free. It shows up every single morning
just
in your
inbox. Just
giving
it away, huh?
We're giving it away. And listen, if you hate it, just unsubscribe. But I think it's really well written. Lots of information, news, nuggets, analysis, links that you need, tweets that you probably haven't seen that provide insight. Just a quick, easy read about here's everything you need to know for fantasy football today.
Yeah, it is awesome. Go to fantasylife.com and you can sign up for the newsletter, which I strongly recommend. Of course, Matthew Berry is the podcast is out and the ESPN Plus stuff. You're everywhere. We appreciate you always making time for us, man.
Always, my friends. This is your week, Mace. We're getting you out of last place.
Yes!
I do not want to see you with only one eyebrow.
Thank you. I appreciate
I
your support,
that,
Matthew. I appreciate I your support. Have a great weekend, man. Thanks.
Thanks, guys. Good luck this week.
All thanks,
right,
Matt.
There's Matthew Berry, talented Mr. Roto.
I do actually want to see you with one eyebrow. I don't want you to finish last because I do root for you, Mace.
Yeah,
but,
I know. The last 5 years, I've just lost my touch.
I think so much of fantasy, though, is just luck. Like,
yeah, I drafted Christian McCaffrey, and he's killed me.
I know. It happened to me last year, too. He got hurt last year, and then I picked up his backup, but it's not the same.
Okay, Tell you what, coming up next for you is that's that one eyebrow man. Yeah. Coming up next for you is jump ball. Bergie's going to throw some stuff at us.
Thank you very much, Chris. All right. So Peter Dinklage is starring in a new movie that's coming out in December. It's a it's a period piece, so he kind of goes back to his Game of Thrones look. Mm-hmm. But the movie is the is a classic love story, Cyrano, where he plays Cyrano de Bergerac.
Oh, nice.
Also starring in the movie is people, I don't know who they are, but Mace, you probably
tell
do.
Me.
Haley Bennett and Kelvin Harrison Jr.
Yes.
So are you in on the Cyrano movie?
I absolutely am. I think Peter Dinklage is one of the great actors that we have right now. I thought that he was the guy that held Game of Thrones together. He was sort of the center of Game of Thrones for me. And him in a period piece, totally buy. The idea of him being Cyrano makes complete and total sense. Feeding love lines to somebody else. I'm all in on this.
Yeah, I also think he's generally pretty good at choosing his roles.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, if you're going to follow up Game of Thrones, you can't just go do some buddy cop movie next.
It's kind of true, right? Actually.
Right? You got to do like another period piece, something kind of epic, something where you're going to be cast as a star and not a co-star or a, you know, what do they call that? A supporting actor. So yeah, I like it. I'm going to trust that he chose a good role for himself.
Yes. Thank you.
We just had some technical difficulties.
Pacing. All
right, so, we got it.
It's time for Fun with Stats. I love doing these things. We're going to keep it just the top five, so tell me the top five quarterbacks that have been sacked the most this year. Top five quarterbacks that have been sacked the most Sacked the most, yes.
Boy, Justin Fields got sacked a lot in that one game, but I don't think that's enough for him to be on the list. Let's try Justin Fields.
You want to go Justin Fields? Justin Fields number five with 12 times. He's actually tied for third, but yeah, he's the one of the top five.
I will go with Trevor Lawrence.
Trevor Lawrence is not on this list.
I will go with Ryan Tannehill.
Ryan Tannehill is number one 17 times. 17 times through 4 weeks. So you have 2, 3, and 4.
How about the Jets quarterback? Zach Wilson.
Zach Wilson, number two. Ooh. Number two, 16 times. Nicely done, Momo. Two left.
But Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow,
it's not,
maybe?
It's definitely not. What about Sam Darnold?
Sam Darnold, not unless that's two strikes. So you want me to give you a little bit of a hint?
Yeah, give me a hint.
All right, Momo, you should get this one.
Oh, Derek Carr.
12
wow.
times,
Carr.
Yes. And the last one is a Heisman Trophy winner. He's in a bunch of commercials right now.
Oh, Baker Mayfield.
Baker Mayfield.
I love those commercials, by the way. Those
he's pretty good.
Me up.
They are
very good. All right, Jorge, what you got today?
All right, so this week I had dinner with a couple of buddies, and we went to this place where they serve you big portions, right?
Nice.
So I was the only one out of the three who was able to eat the whole plate. My secret is I don't drink anything while I'm eating. Are you guys the same way, or do you need a drink next to you in order for you to finish a whole plate?
No.
I think I need the drink. Otherwise, there's no way I can get it all down. Yeah, so how big a plate was this?
Oh, it was like half a rack of ribs and then like, you know, a quarter of a chicken, mac and cheese. Yeah, it was a lot of food. But I was the only one out of the three who ate it. And let me tell you this. Those guys are bigger than me.
Right, because you work out a lot. Aren't you doing like super ultra high kick or whatever that is?
I'm doing that. I run
super
like
ultra home high kick. What's that thing called?
Something called insanity around those.
Oh, insanity is nuts.
That is just crazy. Yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
that's
I miss
hardcore.
Those days. I can eat like that. Oh,
yeah, so
God.
You can afford to. No, I think I need a beverage in order to wash down a big meal. I can eat, though. I'll tell you what, I can put away some food.
I can do
no
it.
Question about
I can do it. No beverage needed. I mean, I would prefer a beverage.
But these guys were like, how do you do it? Like, dude, you just had one Coke. I mean, iced tea or whatever you had. And then you ate the whole meal. I'm like, you guys had drinks. You guys had Coke. They had like 6 or 7 drinks prior, you know, before their food.
Right. So yeah, no, I understand how beverage would occupy some space in your stomach. But no, I need a beverage, especially when I'm eating. Love that chicken from Popeye's. Especially when I'm eating the spicy chicken sandwich from Popeye's.
Have you had the beignets from there yet?
No.
Oh, man, you're missing out.
They're good?
They're not that bad.
They're New Orleans donuts, right?
Yeah, yeah, basically. With like white powdered sugar or whatever.
Oh, sounds good. Yeah. Sounds
too
good.
Sweet for me.
I will do it.
All right, so there's a lot of smoke around Ben Roethlisberger right now. He does not seem to have the arm strength he once had and is throwing short of the sticks on third and fourth down consistently, to the point that on Sunday, Juju Smith-Schuster was caught after one such play on the sideline saying, it's a Ben problem.
Whoa.
Is it time to sit Big Ben?
Well, here's the thing. This team isn't going anywhere. And I don't know, who is Pittsburgh's backup? Is he actually going to make a difference?
It's that guy who got a fight with
Mason Rudolph is their backup?
Yeah, I think that's right.
I think you let him go out as the Hall of Fame quarterback that he is. I personally do. Unless you've got somebody, it's not like they're developing a quarterback for the future. I think they have to go into the draft and find somebody else. I was just looking. Backup quarterback is Mason Rudolph. They also have Dwayne Haskins on the roster. Maybe you want to polish up Dwayne Haskins and give him a shot. But I think Roethlisberger will finish the year as the quarterback for the Steelers.
Okay, so a couple of days ago, there was a little back and forth with Mike Tomlin and Aaron Rodgers. Just like Aaron Rodgers saying, oh, I really like how Mike Tomlin goes about his business, and I'm just... don't read anything into that, but, you know, I liked how he coaches and how he handles people. And Mike Tomlin was like, well, Aaron Rodgers is one of the greatest of all time. I think, guys, that is a sleeper team to watch for.
Because Aaron Rodgers is free after this year.
Mm-hmm. And I know everybody thinks it'd be Denver or, you know, there's other teams where you think Aaron would want to go to or whatever, but
Pittsburgh
is
an interesting call, yeah.
That's an interesting call. And also, Pittsburgh, by the way they handle Roethlisberger, in a lot of ways, that shows Aaron, hey, we're going to treat our aging quarterback with respect. We're not going to go out and draft a quarterback in the first round without telling him.
Yep.
We're not going to shove him out the door. We're going to give him however long he thinks he can play. It's going to be up to him. I mean, they're handling Roethlisberger the exact opposite way the Packers have handled Aaron.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, we can finish off with this one. I'm pretty excited about this one, to be honest. It seems as though Disney Plus is putting a WandaVision spinoff in the works with Catherine Hahn, an Agatha Harkness spinoff. So it was Agatha all along. Will be stuck in my head all day today, and it has been. In or out on the Agatha show?
Completely in. I thought Catherine Hahn was unbelievable in WandaVision. She really made the show, especially as she sort of emerged towards the end of it as the, we're past spoiler point, as she emerges as the villain of the whole thing. And Catherine Hahn is a great actress. In fact, I just read she's going to play Joan Rivers in a Joan Rivers biopic. And I think she's dead on the money for Joan Rivers. I think she's fantastic. I'm a huge Catherine Hahn fan. Actually saw her on Broadway a number of years back in a show called Boeing Boeing. I think she's fantastic. I will absolutely be in on the series.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know the Agatha
thing. Did not watch
thing.
WandaVision.
Did not watch that. I do know Catherine Hahn. You think I look like her, and I'm flattered because she's really funny and great.
That's actually who I cast as you in a movie about Momo.
I'm down, man. I'll roll with that. She's great. But there's a I don't know the Agatha stuff, so I
And you don't watch WandaVision. You're not a Marvel person.
No, I'm not a. Yeah. I don't know. I'm more like Bravo shows.
Oh God, Bravo shows. All right, is that it, Fergie?
That'll do it.
Okay, there's your jump ball for today. Coming up next, let's do lie of the day. Nope. Now, to me, this lie was completely obvious, but you never know. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-ESPN. I told a big, bold lie on today's show, and if you can figure it out, you'll win a pair of tickets to see the Eagles at the Forum. So 877-710-ESPN if you think you know the lie of the day. Plus, coming up, the vow. I'm going to call this the vow.
Ooh.
That's next. Mason in Ireland, 710-ESPN.
We do not have a show tomorrow.
No, we don't have a show.
Yeah. No show tomorrow.
That's sad.
That's a shame. Because we're carrying ESPN is the home of the Major League Baseball playoffs, including the Giants and Dodgers. So we'll have
for
you. What?
Mace, maybe it's good because there was no show yesterday. And the Dodgers
and they
won.
Good point. Good point. All right, so let's do lie of the day. I thought the lie was obvious today. Greg, do you think you know it?
I do think I know it, actually.
Jorge, do you know it?
I think so, too. Yeah.
I might. I don't know. I don't always pay attention.
This is for a pair of tickets to see the Eagles. Let's start out in Orange County with Johnny. Johnny, you're on 710. What's up, man? Hey, Johnny.
Okay, it's your big shot.
Moving on from Johnny.
Oh, wait, here he is.
There you go. Yeah. What's the lie, Johnny?
I think it's plant. I don't believe you cooked man, I forget the dish's name. I'm pulling a blank, but I do not believe you cooked a special dish, nor are you going to cook one tonight for the Rams game.
Johnny, it's eggplant parmesan, and you absolutely nailed it. Yeah, I do not cook eggplant parmesan.
That's your mom's dish.
That's my mom's best dish. Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Congratulations, Johnny. Got tickets to see the Eagles at the Forum, man.
Right on. Thank you very much.
Yep. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being out there, man. There's Johnny in Orange County.
Hey, Mace, how are you giving away these tickets? How come you can't just snag a pair?
Because these are for the people. I mean, people are what matter, Momo.
You know, what if we did a show and I did the lie of the day and you guessed it correctly and then you get the tickets?
Okay.
You could be one of the people.
Scenario. Yeah. So the vow. Here's the vow. And Bergie, you're in on this. And Jorge, you're in on this. And Momo, when you're here, you're in on this. We are going to cover the Dodgers from beginning to end better than anybody. Better than anybody. Mason and Ireland is going to be your home for all the Dodger insight and analysis that you can't get anywhere else. We will tell the truth. We will take your calls. We will follow every game. I will be at every game possible. I'll be at game three and game four next week. I'll go all the way. And by the way, let me just say, last year I was a good luck charm. I was in Dallas when we won the World Series. I was the only one of the few media people that actually took the risk of going there. I was in the middle of COVID and all that stuff.
Hey, brave
COVID.
But I went.
I wore my N95 mask. I was there. We will have complete coverage of the Dodgers for you every single day through the playoffs. So make sure you're here with us on Mason and Ireland every day from 1 to 4. And Bergie knows his baseball too.
Yeah, sometimes. Depends on
the
day.
No, you do.
Oh, thank you.
And Jorge knows his baseball.
He does.
Mm-hmm. He's already excited. Momo knows baseball. Absolutely.
Yeah. By the way, I used something last night when talking about Will Smith that he likes the inside pitches. I was talking with a buddy of mine. I was like, Jorge told me this.
Oh, nice. Too, yeah. By the way, I mentioned the eggplant parmesan thing is a lie. The reality is I don't eat anything before the game. I don't eat anything during the game. I don't think I could even keep it down.
Wow.
Nothing. Yeah, I do. No. Tell you what, when it gets tough, like last night, middle innings, 1-1, Jorge hit it again.
Really?
That's right. That helps you get through a game.
You do that. See, I feel like you need to stay sharp.
No, I get very sort of locked in. When you're high, you can only keep you can only focus on one thing.
Right.
Do you know what I'm talking about? You can't multitask.
Yeah,
I can't worry about the dogs. I can't worry about what's going on in the kitchen. I'm locked into the game. I'm only watching the game. And last night, let's face it, that was an instant classic game in Dodgers history. And I don't think I'm overstating that. It saves a 106-win season, the all-time franchise record, and it's Chris Taylor and Cody Bellinger who emerged, along with the bullpen, as the biggest stars of that game last night. And who would have had their money on Chris Taylor, who was struggling like crazy, and Cody Bellinger, who was struggling like crazy?
I mean, it was crazy to me that they had to play the Cardinals, too. All, if you followed the Dodgers for the last, 10, 15 years, it's almost like in Indiana Jones, when Indiana Jones is like, oh, snakes, why is it going to be snakes?
Yeah,
so it's got to be snakes. Why has it got to be the Cardinals? It's a one-game wild card. Why is it going to be the Cardinals? Oh, and why is it going to be Wainwright? And now Wainwright, when he throws now, he's 89, 90-ish. And you saw every hitter was out in front. He was keeping them off balance.
And I didn't realize he is – I think they said last night he's 6'6". Is that right?
He's real tall. He's 40 years old.
He's all 40. Arms. He throws seven different curveballs at different speeds. Apparently, last night he threw one in the 60s.
Oh, I mean, I was watching those Dodger hitters, and I don't know if you realize how hard it is to hit somebody who throws it slow, especially the first time through the lineup. After two, three times through the lineup, you're like, okay, he just throws really slow, and you adjust. But if you're able to go with a range from 65 to 91, that is really hard to get your timing. It's really difficult. And you saw, like, Trey Turner gets up. The Dodgers who you would want in that spot, bases loaded, two outs, huge pressure. Trey Turner has been the hottest guy in baseball for like the last
batting
month.
Title. Yeah.
Batting title, had the highest wins above replacement of any player in baseball this year. Trey Turner. Okay. He is the guy. And what does he do? Way out on his front foot, totally ahead of the ball.
Swings at a ball. Yeah, it was a ball.
Totally. It was a bad pitch. I mean, he was, but Wainwright pulls the string on it. I mean, it just, it's really hard. He was keeping him off balance all night. And I thought the fact that the two guys who actually delivered, I mean, AJ Pollock, same thing. If it wasn't Trey Turner, you'd probably want AJ Pollock up, right? In a big spot.
Oh yeah.
AJ Pollock. Nope. A little swing and bunt.
Of all the guys.
Pretty sure that if AJ Pollock gets a hit in the postseason, it'll be his first hit as a Dodger in the postseason.
But he's been so hot and so clutch this year.
But it's close.
But it's, I mean, and then there was the play, I think it was that play, the swing and bunt play, where Goldschmidt makes the catch on the exact, it was the exact same setup as Max Muncy broke his wrist, or wasn't broken wrist, but whatever he did to his arm the other day. Right,
yeah.
It's elbow, whatever it is.
Dislocated his elbow,
Yeah, I mean, it was like this. The throw was inside the baseline. That, you know, Goldschmidt had to stick his hand out there in the runner, in the line of fire for the runner. But instead of the ball hitting the runner in the back, it just dropped right over his shoulder and Goldschmidt makes the play. I mean, there were so many moments where the Dodgers could have just had a
By the way, big shout out to Matt Beatty, who played a great first base, made a couple of really nice plays. Shout out to Chris Taylor, who made a great catch in left field and, of course, went on to hit the walk-off home run. I was a little scared when Billy McKinney wound up at first base.
Did you understand that move? I didn't really get it.
I didn't. I didn't understand double-switching McKinney into the lineup.
He's normally an outfielder, right?
I mean, he's an outfielder by trade. Yeah.
You know, and it was there were so many weird things though. But the one that's getting me, because Bill Plaschke tweeted it this morning, and if there's anybody who would know the similarities, I think he was there in '88 when Gibson hit the home run.
Yeah.
The steal of second base. Okay, Cody Bellinger hitting under 200, steal second base. It frees Taylor up to shorten his swing up, and he doesn't have to try to hit a double or triple or hit the gap. He's just trying to hit a single, and that's what hits the home run. So many similarities to '88 where Mike Davis, you remember Mike Davis?
Mike Davis got on base, sure.
Got on base. Well, he was hitting under 100 when he gets there. He works the walk. Same as Bellinger, works the walk, which is like you wouldn't have expected that for a guy having that kind of season. Steals second. And Gibson always said afterwards, part of the reason he was able to shorten up his swing is because Mike Davis stole second. And he wasn't trying to hit a home run. He didn't try to hit it in the gap. Mike Davis stole second. He was going to score on a ball. He was going to score on a single. Same as Chris Taylor last night. It's just
interesting.
The similarities are pretty. I mean, no, it wasn't a high drive to left field, but I guess, you know, to right field, right?
It was a line drive to left field.
Yeah, yeah. But
he turned on a slider, an inside slider, and just yanked it.
But Chris Taylor's right-handed, and Gibson was batting lefty in that. So it,
yeah, you sure.
Know, it was a pull, right?
Yeah, it was a pull.
Yeah.
The similarities are interesting. I mean, where does this rank in Dodgers history? You know, to me, it salvages. You know, at some point in that game, I thought, I don't want to be the Mariners.
Yeah.
I don't want to be the Mariners. The Mariners won, I think, 116 games and then got bounced from the playoffs. You know, they win a franchise record 106, and it comes down to the bottom of the ninth inning and two of our hitters that are struggling or have been struggling more than anybody else. And it is an honest-to-God quote. I said to Juan, when Chris Taylor stepped to the plate, I said, of all the people, he's won for his last 100. And he hits the home run.
Felt like it. I had him on my fantasy team, so I know how bad he was at the end of the year.
Yeah, he scuffled all year long. All year long.
He was good
was
for a
so
while.
Great
he just
to see.
Ran. He was an all-star this year. I mean, he was good early.
He was, yeah, but he was an all-star, but had a terrible second half.
Yeah, second half was just, he just got run down. I mean, he's a guy that you probably shouldn't be playing, you know, as many games as he played. You probably need to keep him fresh. And he's also really streaky. That's the thing with Chris Taylor. He's very streaky. Always has been. And so
one thing to watch for,
too, by
the way, tomorrow when they announce the playoff roster, they went very, I think they only carried, is it 10 pitchers?
I think it was 16 position players, 10 pitchers. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that was fascinating. And Dave Roberts used most of those position players. Mm.
He had two left.
Even, for example, when Lux was introduced as the pinch hitter, they went to the left-hander, McFarland, and then Dave Roberts pinch hit for Lux with Albert Pujols. I mean,
But then they used Souza, okay, who's right-handed. Okay, that made sense.
Yeah.
But they left in Bellinger, so it was a lefty-lefty matchup against a guy who is not good against lefties.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it's because he'd already burned two pinch hitters.
It was also the only guy. There was two guys left on the bench. It was Austin Barnes, who's your backup catcher. You're not going to put him there. And Zach McKinstry, who was a lefty. So you weren't.
And there was two outs. So.
Right. Yeah. So you just let Bellinger kind of do his thing.
But I've never seen a postseason roster like that. 16 position players and 10 pitchers.
It was just for this. I mean, it worked out because you needed all of those guys.
And I think they knew Urias was available. They said Urias is available.
And Gonsolin.
Yep.
And you have Scherzer. You're expecting Scherzer to go six, seven innings, so you don't need as many relievers.
Yeah.
So that's not going to happen in the DS.
Let's face it. There are only like eight pitchers I really want to see.
Yeah, that's about right.
There are some pitchers I completely freak out on. But I love the guys that ran last night were fantastic. You went to Kenley Jansen. You went to Corey Knebel. You went to Joe Kelly in a critical situation with one out in the fifth inning. Removing Scherzer from the game turns out to be a fantastic move. You've got Trinan was great. Gratterall had a really good inning. It was a great bullpen performance. But aside from those guys, Vesia, I think, is the only other guy that I've got faith in. I've got faith in Vesia.
Maybe Bickford?
Maybe Phil Bickford? Yeah, maybe Phil Bickford. I could live with Phil.
I don't want to see Justin Brule. Yeah.
I don't want to see Justin Brule. Exactly right. No Justin Brule. So it'll be interesting to see what the playoff roster looks like when it comes out tomorrow as we get ready for game one of the NLDS, Dodgers at Giants. And then we'll be back on Monday with full shows, and I'll be at those games Monday and Tuesday. Now, are we back on Monday?
It depends. I don't know. I don't have an answer for that. I don't have an answer for it. Honestly, it
depends
on what happens.
This time of year, I want to be on the air. I want to be. This is the best time of the year.
Look, there's a possibility of four baseball games on Monday. I don't know what happens.
All right.
Three-day weekend. Woo.
Yeah.
It'd actually be 4 days.
One way to look at it.
4 days.
I think I'm there on Tuesday. Am I there on Tuesday?
All right. Tell you what, coming up next, we're going to play Game of Games. Ooh. It is Bergman's game today. And so far in the month of October, the score I've got is Bergman 1, Jorge 1, and Clinton Yates 1. So Momo will be added to the scoreboard potentially coming up next for you. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. It is Game of Games time on a celebration Thursday and on a day we're getting ready for Rams-Seahawks. Pre-game is coming up for you in about 10 minutes, so make sure you're here for that as we get ready for that game tonight, which is a 5:15 start up in Seattle. It is Game of Games time. Bergie's game today. What do you got there, Bergman?
All right, so there's a bunch of good birthdays today, so I'm going to try and get you to guess the person by giving you some clues.
Okay.
All right, so your name is your buzzer.
Yep.
This is the first one. I won a Heisman Trophy. I make whiskey now. I was robbed of going to a Super Bowl after I made an incredible play that was overturned with one of the worst rules in sports.
Mason. Is that Rich Gannon?
No, that is not Rich Gannon. I went to Michigan. I spent most of my career with the Raiders and Packers.
Oh, I should know. Momo. Charles Woodson.
Thank you. Yes, Charles Woodson.
All right. Sorry. I got it.
Yes,
he finally
sacked
got
Tom
with
Brady.
The Packers.
I knew it was a Raider.
No, it was a Raider. I was just like, I don't think it's Rich Gannon. Does Rich Gannon make whiskey? Like,
was
what?
He the quarterback then?
Rich Gannon was the quarterback.
Yeah.
Was the quarterback. Okay.
Yep, sure was. All right, so the next one is, I'm a musician, mostly of the folk variety.
Okay.
I had a massive hit that made people want to drink. You could say I had the night sweats, but recently went solo.
Oh, I should know this.
Mason.
Mason.
Nathaniel Ratcliffe?
Yeah, that's Nathaniel Ratliff, but yes.
Ratliff. Okay.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. You'll give him that one. That's good.
Yes,
that's
I will give
pull.
Him that one. All right, so Momo won.
Boy, that's
Mason
a tough
pull.
That's
a good pull right there.
Yeah,
good pull.
That? Thank you. Thank you. All right.
Not for you. I would
not
say
for you.
Mason.
It's a tough pull for me.
Yeah. Well, no, I figured you'd know that one. Okay. All right, the next one is, I'm an actress, comedian, and writer. I have been in such movies as Cookie, Madea Goes to Jail, and
Mason.
Hall Pass. Mason.
Tyler Perry.
No, not Tyler
Momo.
Perry. Momo.
The lady who plays Wanda. what's her name? I don't know.
Jorge, what's her name? Anything?
Still got more clues. You want to address the clues?
I want more clues, yeah.
I've won a Cable Ace Award, a Daytime Emmy, and a GLAAD Award. I am the only original host still on The View.
I know it now.
Yeah, now I know it. Anything, Jorge?
You said The View?
Yeah, The View.
Is it Joey Behar? Behar?
Yeah, we'll give you that. Yes, it is. Joy Behar. It is.
Good enough.
Good call.
Nice job, Jorge.
These are hard.
Jorge strikes me as the typical View watcher.
All right, so I am a singer, songwriter, pianist, and actress.
Okay.
I'm one of the best-selling female R&B artists in history. Jorge.
Is it Alicia Keys?
No, sorry. I've won 7 Grammy Awards and nominated for 6 more. One of my most famous songs is pleading to an ex to unbreak my heart.
Mason. That's Toni Braxton.
That is Toni Braxton.
You're right. That's good. That's really good.
Break my heart.
Yep. Yeah. All right, the next one is I'm incredibly rich and famous for being a judge. I am extreme. Mason.
Judge Judy.
No.
Oh.
I am extremely honest, and it kind of became my thing. I created or helped create multiple massive reality shows that are still going today and in many countries.
What?
Trying to figure out what was in Paula Abdul's cup.
Jorge. No. Is it Simon Powell? Cowell.
Simon Cowell. Yeah. Yes. Good job, Jorge. That's 2 for you. That's
Did you say Simon Powell?
Powell.
All right. I only have 2 more. I got to sweep this.
I got to run the table.
All right. So I am I'm a singer, songwriter, painter, actor, and director. Ooh. I have had a lot of names. In an interview with our very own Steve Mason, I said rock and roll was dead. Mason.
John Mellencamp.
That is right. John Mellencamp. 3
He did tell
Mason.
Me rock and roll is dead when I was on WNW.
You told this story like on Monday.
Wow. Yeah.
All right. Here's the last one. So, Jorge, you got to get this one if you want to tie.
All right, let's go.
I am a Brazilian footballer. Although I'm from Brazil,
Mason.
I played at Mason.
Neymar?
No.
Nope.
Although I'm from Brazil, I played in the 2014 World Cup with Spain after gaining Spanish nationality.
Jorge. Diego Costa.
Diego Costa is absolutely right. Art, we're tied.
I had no chance on that.
We're tied.
Yeah, you really didn't.
Diego Costa did not roll out of my tongue there.
All right, we got our first tiebreaker that actually matters from one of my games.
So it's me and Jorge.
Right, so here's the tiebreaker. We talked about Charles Woodson's whiskey. If I ordered a bottle of the White and Silver Signature Series whiskey, how much would it cost with shipping and taxes? Mm. Closest wins. It doesn't matter if you go over or not. Closest wins. Mason.
I'm first. I will say with shipping and taxes and all that stuff.
Oh,
I'll say $120.
You're typing?
$120. All right. And Jorge. I don't think Mason cheats.
I'll say $119.
Oh, you went lower. That was the right call, Jorge. $63.78. It would be your total. So Jorge takes the win.
Nice, Jorge.
Yeah.
Woo. Nicely done.
Diego Costa.
I think Mason got double birthday. For Nathaniel Ratliff.
That was a good pull. I love that band.
That was a good pull.
SOB was a great record that they had.
That's a good.
All right, we're going to wrap here. Thank you very much for listening. We appreciate you a lot. Great day, Celebration Thursday. Dodgers were all over it for you every single day on Mason and Ireland. Game 1 is tomorrow, NLDS, and we will have the game, ESPN presenting the playoffs for you right here on 710 ESPN. Coming up next, my beloved Los Angeles Rams are in Seattle to beat the Seahawks. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.